Welcome to another Directions Magazine podcast, today featuring my interview with Autodesk's Rich Humphrey, the Director of Industry Strategy and Business Development for Engineering, Natural Resources, and Infrastructure, on some of the trends and changes he's seeing among his clients. And specifically, we'll focus on building information models, or BIM, and what the impact is on the entire workflow for designing, building, and maintaining infrastructure assets. Stay tuned.
Rich, thanks very much for speaking with me today. Let me just jump into the first question I've got. The BIM process now seems to be embedded in design methods and a standard requirement of many RFPs. Why and what do you think was the catalyst that brought forward the need for BIM and a new method for design, in your opinion?
Yeah, okay, that's a good question. So, in our view, the industry, particularly the infrastructure industry, is really starting to realize just now the benefits associated with the improved process that BIM for infrastructure represents. So there's a lot of RFPs, particularly from owners, that are coming out, like within the UK government, the Finnish government. We're seeing Japan, Brazil, Mexico, US DOTs all, looking to move towards BIM and actually doing mandating the BIM process in their RFPs. And really the reason for that, at least from, if I start from the owner side, they're really struggling with the increasingly complex projects that they have and the limited resources that now, that they've, with in terms of funding and other human resources to actually build and manage these infrastructure assets. So they're seeing the business results that BIM has had on the building side of the industry, and they're really seeking to apply those lessons to public works projects. So you can say, and I look at that success, and I think they're probably realizing the same thing, which is on infrastructure projects, due to the complexity and challenges that exist in terms of the large scale, geographic scale, or the many disciplines, public safety, the transparency issues that they have around public funds, that added complexity actually has a higher potential to have better ROI in terms of the results of using BIM. On the engineering consultant side, they see BIM as a way to differentiate themselves. They want to win new projects in a really competitive environment. So, and after they win the bid, these consultants really look to BIM as a way for them to improve margins, meet their customer requirements, which sometimes are BIM requirements, and provide more value-added services. And I think the same goes for the contractors. And in fact, probably the contractors have accelerated the move into BIM even faster because of the nature of how their contractual relationships are often more at risk, and they have more to gain by actually, delivering a project with a process that can help them lower costs, reduce errors, and ensure that they finish projects on time. And to date, they've probably kept to themselves a lot of the, cost savings as profits from these projects. So I see that, that whole ecosystem accelerating a move to BIM and all those benefits being shared throughout the ecosystem. And I'd also like to reference the McGraw-Hill Smart Market Report on the value of BIM for infrastructure. So you mentioned that, like we mentioned, that BIM is a standard requirement now in many RFPs, and this is really becoming increasingly true. What contractors and service providers use today to differentiate themselves, as I described, in the future, we really see that trajectory being, it's just going to become the prerequisite for doing business. And finally, I guess what I'd say is, BIM holds the promise of transforming the way the industry does business, in a way that, will help what I'll describe as an infrastructure cliff that we're heading to, or a gap that we see in terms of the industry's ability to put in place the infrastructure needed, which some describe as around $60 trillion over the next between now and 2030, and the industry's capabilities to actually put that infrastructure in place. There's probably a $30 trillion gap in terms of making that happen, according to many sources. So, BIM does this, will help enable this closing of this gap by managing the complexity of the infrastructure projects. It'll help greatly increase efficiencies to reduce the cost associated with the kind of top line $60 trillion. I really believe it also will make infrastructure projects more fundable, then it's one of the ways that we're going to, you know, increase the amount of investment is not through continued public funding, but the entrance of more of the private sector and contractual relationships like PPPs. So with that, you know, BIM provides the power of prediction, which really lowers the risks and increases the potential for an investor to get ROI out of it. And also, you know, every infrastructure project or public work project needs to go through kind of the approval process and public engagement process, and often that now takes years to accomplish. Through BIM and the clarity that BIM provides, you know, I believe we can shorten that planning, approval, and public engagement process. So all those kind of combined will gel to really accelerate the momentum of the acceptance of BIM.
Yes, yeah, so let me pick up on your comment about the complexity of the projects. Is that more or less a chicken and egg type of thing? The complexity of projects has increased because the software and solutions have gotten much more capable to handle the complexity, and in particular on interoperability, and, you know, the workflow between the owner, the designer, and then putting it into the construction phase.
Yeah. So in one sense, I would say the complexity is a component of the technology, in the sense that the industry or the owners and the public all have a higher expectation of what the deliverable should be. But I think it's more of it's really coming out of the fact that if you look at infrastructure, we spend less and less on the maintenance of that infrastructure. So when you need to replace it, it becomes this large kind of catastrophic project that you need to do. You're seeing projects that more, you know, at one point, like the Big Dig in Boston was one of the largest, most complex projects, but we're seeing a lot of those. And so the other part of it is things the industry hasn't seen stagnant in terms of its requirements. So you're seeing a lot more requirements, not just from use of technology, but so big complex projects that need to meet the public's needs around sustainability. They need to have, you know, meet a lot more stringent environmental or regulatory agency requirements. And then the public just has a different sense of what their expectations are as well. They've also need to meet, after Superstorm Sandy, there's a lot of talk around, okay, when we put this infrastructure in place, it not only needs to meet some other safety concerns, but it needs to be more, it needs to more readily be able to withstand kind of the coming natural disasters that people are predicting. So in that sense, projects themselves have changed even more rapidly than the evolution of the technology and expectations that people have because of the new technology. So, I offer that because of this increase in complexity, that without the BIM process and the technology that enables it, there's that gap that I mentioned would just continue to accelerate.
So we're really able to stand up very complex projects fairly quickly now because the BIM process is more accepted, and you've got the tools to do that kind of work.
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about how BIM does manage that complexity, and it really has a lot to do with kind of the clarity and the continuity of the information, right? I mean, if you think about how we used to manage projects and plan them, design them, and build them, for example, it was all about 2D paper plan sets, right? So if you're going to do a large complex project and everything is off of hundreds of reams of pieces of paper, you know, it's a lot harder for people, the public, let alone the engineering consulting firms and the owners, let alone the public, to actually understand what the design intent is in the first place. And there's always a lot of errors and omissions. But if you can imagine now viewing the information in a 3D model environment, but not just a 3D model anymore, that's just the geometry, but all the information behind it and modeled in the context of what's existing. So leveraging all the available GIS information, satellite imagery, and then building your model in that context, now there's a lot more clarity around, you know, an understanding around what is intended to happen. And then on the continuity side, I really mean, you mentioned interoperability. the ability to bring all the different disciplines in and aggregate information in a single location that people can reference and make sure that they're coordinated is very, very significant, as well as to make sure we move data from planning to design to even the own asset management and O&M steps without losing the continuity. That is that's really the value of building information modeling in enabling and managing the complexities that we're talking about.
It does seem that we have a need for more information, particularly geospatial information, into the design process. And I'm wondering if the lines are more or less blurring between what we used to think of as GIS and CAD. BIM seems to be incorporating a lot of that. Do you see that as true?
Yeah, I think it's true. I guess what I'd say is, first, the lines between GIS and CAD have probably been fuzzy for a number of years. But I'd also like to, with that said, I'd like to offer a viewpoint of kind of where I see the situation today and how, I guess, we think it's going to evolve. And I'd contend that the GIS and CAD, really may soon be seen as old constructs that had really grown out of an industry that was trying to leverage the technology that's been available for the last 20 years. So I think that the latest technology that's enabling the BIM process, specifically BIM for infrastructure, is going to leverage both GIS and CAD information and is going to help transform the process completely. So when I say that, I mean the ability for BIM to access any information and model it in a 3D world context, model it with 3D real world objects that are kind of aware of what they are and are parametric. It allows for a means that, so now you can access the data better and you can analyze that information to really create and manage the infrastructure in a way that is really going to become less and less the job of specialists and more just a part of the day-to-day process, right? So how do I take the data and the analysis that at one point used to have to go to special roles and bring that into the process? Now, like a designer, for example, really early in the design process, should be able to get any data that they need, put it in the context of their design, and do analysis. And I guess I also see the cloud, and the cloud is a very important strategy for Autodesk, as also enabling that that whole workflow as well.
Yeah, so let me just pick up on that because you had mentioned the access to information is becoming much, people are much more dependent on getting immediate access. And the cloud has that wonderful promise of we're going to be able to get information, but there's also the complexity of the software solution itself. So data access on one side and then being actually able to, design and utilize all of the capabilities of building models. So are we putting too much emphasis on the cloud and in the hopes that both storage and speed will be there, or is that something that you think that Autodesk is capable of bringing to market?
Yeah, so I think Autodesk is, and the industry in general, is able to bring it to market. I mean, Autodesk has put a lot of investment in a cloud strategy because we really believe that it will be an enabler for the built BIM process. And I also think the technology, kind of both the hardware on the hardware side, for example, and if you're familiar with Moore's Law, that just continues to escalate, and that at some point the speeds and bandwidth and storage capabilities, aren't going to be a bottleneck to this. But when I mentioned that the cloud and our strategy within Autodesk and how we see it as a huge enabler that'll help transform the industry really by enabling the BIM process, I see that happening, and we think of it in three ways. And the first is, the cloud's approach to collaboration, what I call continuity, and the ability to communicate. So the BIM model and information will just be more easily shared through the cloud, allowing more stakeholders to access the information. And the key there is that when you put it in the cloud, it's now in a central location. So all stakeholders are able to share in the information, and they don't have to worry about whether it's the right information, is it the right version, because it's all one model now, and it's not disparate files. it's all held in the cloud. And that's one of the really good advantages of kind of hosting your data in a centralized cloud environment that everyone can access. The second thing I'll talk about is simulation, analysis, and optimization that are enabled through the power of cloud computing, right? So once complex simulations that would take, you know, hours or days can really be driven down because of that compute time, down to almost near real time. So this enables what I had talked about, which is, you know, facilitating the analysis and simulation really earlier and earlier in the design process, because time is no longer an obstacle to doing analysis, at least even in the early stage, just to get kind of quick insight into whether your design is going in the right direction. So that is going to be really, really powerful, and really is going to ensure that we optimize designs earlier and earlier, where we can actually make decisions at a much lower cost and in a much more effective way.
Right.
And then the last component I talk about is the cloud allows the BIM model and all the information, GIS or geometry information, to go mobile. You know, we can bring BIM into the field. So with the help of, you know, the technologies we just talked about, so BIM for Infrastructure is going to help provide business agility to our customers. So the model information will be free to be used by anybody, anywhere, at any time. So I think about examples, and it'd be easier to show this, but if you can think about someone out in the field with an iPad where they've got their BIM model information, they really need to know where they are in the context of the design. With the technology today of the cloud and geospatial location, they can actually locate themselves, you know, on the real job site and know exactly where they are in the model. But that'll also enable things like augmented reality. So I'm on the job site, looking at my iPad through the video. I see the roadway, but I can also see through it and see the pipes that are either existing or being designed in that model. Or another good example would be, you know, I want to know I want to show the public, you know, what this new bridge is going to look like, and I'm on the job site, and there's some key stakeholders, and I can actually view an iPad and augment it in an augmented way, overlay on the video, on the image, what the design model is going to look like, so they can actually see what it's going to look like in the context of the actual existing reality.
So just one final question, Rich. You mentioned augmented reality. It's a really enabling technology. How do you think this bodes well for both additional types of users, in other words, non-engineering type of users, as well as informing the public, the people who can really get it more easily and understand what's going on in terms of infrastructure build-out? Because it seems like there's all sorts of projects going up. The oil and gas industry is really exploding, and yet there's a need to inform the public in many and different ways.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an unbelievable enabler. And I mentioned kind of, you know, I was referring to that when I mentioned shortening the planning and public engagement cycles that the industry is now kind of in. Really, if you can imagine going to a public meeting where instead of kind of the way we do it, the old way of doing it, or the way that even happens today, where you just bring a bunch of maps and 2D plan sets and you post them up there and you try to explain to the public what's going on in the project, you know, they leave more confused and more frustrated than when they entered the room, probably. And, you know, that just kind of, you know, leads to more questions for the public and stalls many projects. The ability to actually go in with the technology we're talking about and, you know, number one, bring in a BIM model, whether it's in the desktop and you're just projecting it, but it's in 3D and it's in full, you know, real-world context. And the key there is that they can actually, you know, fly kind of through a design and actually, with the technology like that Autodesk was working on, specifically Project Mercury, you can actually view it and actually make changes and see alternatives and what different alternatives results are going to look like in terms of project performance in real time with the public. And then, like you said, take that now to an augmented reality mode where you're bringing an iPad and giving the public an iPad to look at kind of what's going on, or even richer engagements with the public. And I'll refer to what Caltrans did with their Presidio Parkway project, where I think they contracted Parsons Brinckerhoff and a couple other firms to actually deliver the Presidio Parkway BIM model in kind of a game-like format that was an application that they posted on their website that the users or the public, the users of that Presidio Parkway infrastructure could download and actually drive, like in a game, in virtual reality, they could drive the Presidio Parkway and then drive the existing parkway and what it's going to look like on Monday morning when they change a traffic pattern. And so that is just an unbelievable change in the way owners and engineering firms can engage in the public and educate the public on what is not only the design intent, but what it's going to actually look like before anyone builds it. And I know that particular example, the Presidio Parkway, was a public safety example too, because they did that because the first time they had actually closed one of the sections of the Presidio and put in a new traffic pattern, there was a big accident on Monday morning, and this is the main artery into San Francisco. So the repercussions there are not just in public safety, but just lost economic and issues and other issues related to a huge traffic jam in addition to potential loss of human life. So luckily, after they did this scenario and this type of engagement with the game and the iPad, there wasn't any issues. The public was highly satisfied, and that project is going pretty well.
Right. Well, Rich, I want to thank you so much for your time and an excellent conversation on BIM and some of the new applications that are coming out and what you foresee in the future. I really, really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. It was good talking to you.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Magazine podcast. If you'd like to comment about my interview today, please write to me at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks again, and be sure to tell a friend.